waiting. No, I've been blue. Prayed each night for someone exactly like you. Why should we spend money on a show or two? No one does those love scenes exactly like you. You make me feel so grand, I wanna hand the world to you. You make me understand each foolish little dream I'm dreaming, scheme I'm scheming.
Yeah, you may have in your mind Molly Ringwald from the 1980s movies, the John Hughes Brat Pack movies, Pretty in Pink, 16 Candles, Breakfast Club. This is one of the things that Molly Ringwald likes to do now. Jazz it up like she did last night at the Batavia Arts Center, doing a full-blown jazz, kind of cabaret-style show, I guess. Batavia Fine Arts Center, beautiful, beautiful facility. Sounds pretty good, Shwani, doesn't she?
She does sound good, yeah. It works well with the bassist. That was a nice duet, the way they opened up exactly like you.
I love me a stand-up bass.
Mm-hmm.
You know why I do, because Curly played.
Curly played, that's right.
Stand-up bass.
Swing it!
And the Three Stooges. But she sounds pretty great, I think.
Yeah.
I did her, as you'll hear her say in a minute, her dad was a jazz pianist.
Okay.
And
so she was exposed to it
very much
growing up.
Very, very much so.
Yeah.
Very much so. She was out in Batavia last night. We took a run out there to sit down and talk with her, not only about her jazz show and about her career, but her history that she's got here in Chicago.
Now, did she, you said she talked about some of her people that she admired. I'm just curious to see who they might be.
You'll hear her talk about that.
Okay. Oh, you're going to wait. Make me wait now. Okay.
In the interview. Yeah, that's okay, the idea, cool. Shwani. We run things on the show. You listen. That's the.
Is it Sunday?
I know. Shwani thinks this is Netflix, that he just ordered something. Good, listen to the whole interview. Relax. And maybe back off on the caffeine a little bit, too. Molly Ringwald, remembering her days here in Chicago.
Welcome to Chicago.
Thank you.
Are there any Chicago stories? Anything of working here, performing here, playing here, hanging out here?
Well, I did two of my most well-known movies in the Chicago area, which were 16 Candles and The Breakfast Club.
Yeah.
So I think most of my vivid memories are from doing those movies. And 16 Candles was during the summer, and Breakfast Club was right about now, I think in the middle of winter.
Yeah, those tend to be like work, 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 though, right? So not a lot of time to play, or maybe there was.
Oh, those were really fun. I mean,
yeah.
Especially 16 Candles, which was over the summer. It was like, you know, going to summer camp or
great
something.
Time to
it was
be
really
here.
Really fun.
Yeah.
And actually, Breakfast Club too was fun, just because, you know, there were so few of us, and it was kind of like it was very close and intimate, and
yeah.
You know, it was a fun script to work
yeah.
on.
People, I've been telling people that. You know, you're here performing jazz,
mm-hmm.
and people are shocked, and I was a little bit. I think, you know, performers generally can kind of sing and dance and mm-hmm. do it all. And then I was reading about how this is really sort of in your DNA and really something since that you've been doing since you were a little kid, right?
Yeah, my father, Bob Ringwald, is a traditional jazz musician, and so I started out singing with him and his band when I was about 3.5 years old. So it's really the thing that I've done longer than just about anything else. I mean, it was just about pre-verbal. And then sort of from that, I went into musical theater, a community theater, and then film. And, you know, I've been really lucky that I've been able to go back and forth between film and TV and theater and also performing.
Yeah.
And I write also.
Yeah.
So I like to wear a few different hats.
Jazz is such an interesting choice for you, though, of, you know, people kind of about our age, you know, would have gone like something contemporary or,
mm-hmm.
you know, something like that. So traditional. I get that it's, you know, it's your dad and that's what you grew up with. But, I mean, there must be something that's really attractive about singing jazz to you.
I just like jazz. I mean, it's sort of like the musical version of comfort food, I guess. You know, I like the way it sounds. It feels good. It's what I like to listen to. I mean, I like all different kinds of music, and actually there are a few songs that I sing that aren't strictly jazz. But it's just something that I think is really one of our national treasures. So I'm really I like to sort of think of myself a little bit as an ambassador of jazz, if you will, because some people come to see me perform just because they like the movies that I've done, and then they sort of get introduced to this music that they maybe didn't know about.
Yeah, I used to be a DJ on a jazz station, so.
Oh, is that right?
I'm so happy to hear you say that. And I used to like hate that the music got so, I thought, kind of bastardized away from the true roots of jazz and some of my favorite artists, the ones that I liked. Who do you like best? Who are your jazz standards?
Well, there's so many. I mean, I grew up, you know, with the traditional greats, you know, the Louis Armstrong and Bix Beiderbecke and Cindy Bechet and Bessie Smith, I think was the first singer that I really loved. But then, you know, I kind of grew away from that into more sort of modern jazz. So I love, you know, Coltrane and Chet Baker and Miles Davis. And in terms of singers, I would say probably my favorites, well, Ella, I think, is, you know, Billy, Anita O'Day, Blossom Deary. And then there's some contemporary singers that I really like Jane Monhide and Cecile McLaurin-Salvon. And,
cool. Yeah. We're tracking like exactly. So glad to hear you say that. I would have hated to have to punch you right in the middle of an interview.
Oh yeah, that'd be awkward.
That would have been awkward. What else are you doing in acting now? I know you've got TV projects, things like that. Mm-hmm. I wonder, do things like Netflix and other online platforms open up the world to actors to do projects that might not have otherwise gotten greenlit?
Well, I mean, Netflix is doing a ton of stuff. I mean, they just opened a studio, you know, in Vancouver. And I'm actually doing a movie for Netflix coming up. I'm going to South Africa to film that. I think Netflix and a lot of, you know, everything I want to watch pretty much is on, you know, HBO or Showtime.
Right.
Or, you know, that's where
it's a great time in acting, right?
Like, I think so.
All these new avenues are
It's
open.
Definitely the golden age of television, that's for sure. I mean, I think the projects that are most interesting that, you know, would have been done on film, I think, are now sort of gravitating towards television.
Yeah. People always talk about your most famous movies and what profound effects they had on their lives. I wonder what kind of, if you had any idea that you were making these really, really profound kind of movies for people while you were making them.
No, I mean, I don't think it's really possible to know something like that at the time. I mean, I knew I was making good movies, and I knew I was making movies that I wanted to go see. But I certainly didn't know that I would be talking about them, you know, 30 years later.
Yeah. You hit it big so young and had such great success. And people are really, you know, breaking in now, sometimes successfully that young. It's like, what kind of advice, if you were to counsel somebody who's just starting off young now with the benefit of your knowledge, what would you warn them about? What would you tell them to enjoy?
I make a point not to give advice, although I did have an advice column in The Guardian, so I guess if I'm paid for it, I'll give advice.
Okay.
But I mean, my feeling is that people are going to find their own ways, and people need to make their own mistakes, and they have their own journey. So I think the only thing I could say is, you know, stay away from drugs and use sunscreen.
Interesting advice there. The sunscreen part especially. What do you think? What do you think of her jazz picks?
I think that's remarkable. I was
she was on the mark with some really...
She not only was she on the mark, but I was amazed that she went back as far as people like Bix Beiderbecke and Sidney Bechet, Bessie Smith. Do you know how far
those
back
are
that
in
goes?
Like 1920s, 1930s.
Yes, they were around. Bix... died a very young man, sadly. He was from Davenport, Iowa, played here a lot, but he was dead at the age of 30 or something like that. Louis Armstrong, though, called him the king.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Big Spider Bed, Sidney Bechet was one of the pioneers of the soprano sax, which feeds right into people like John Coltrane. So, yeah, that was remarkable that she had all of those
picks like that. She's the real deal with jazz. So, Molly Ringwald.
Yeah, you can't get around, you know, Ella Fitzgerald or Billie Holiday, so anyone would have to pay attention to
them. Those are the ones that everybody picks.
Right.
Ella, Louis Armstrong.
No, she really was, Dean. You're right.
Kenny G, all the greats. All the greats.
Yeah,
you
who?
You don't want to mention
who?
Forget any of them.
Kenny G.
Well,
I heard you slip that in.
While I'm looking at the WNUA building out of our window, out of our Allstate Showcase studio window, I'm looking up at the fifth floor?
Fourth floor, I think.
Yeah, looking up over it and thinking some special thoughts. Molly Ringwald, we're going to share the interview tomorrow morning on the WGN-TV morning news, so you'll be able to see her. I think she looks pretty great, and we'll share that with you throughout the morning tomorrow on the Big Number 9, of